Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, good. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Hey, glad to be on, as usual.
Cool, cool. Thank you again, man. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in, checking out this episode of Sports Urban Legend. Of course, he's Macaulay Matthew, and I'm William Mamo. Today's show, we're going to talk about the slam dunk contest. The only silver lining was our boy Obi Toppin weighing it, defending the Knicks' honor, if the Knicks still have any. You know, we won the slam dunk tournament. RJ Barrett had his breakout game yesterday in the losing effort. We'll talk about that. Talk about the Super Bowl, since we were in here, unfortunately, last week. And we'll also talk about the Elimination Chamber that also happened last week as well. And talk about this MLB lockout, the rumors surrounding both Mets and Yankees, and which ironically involves Freddie Freeman as one of the rumors. We'll dive into that. But most importantly, we'd love to hear from you. And the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. You know, we'll talk about those topics. We'll talk about Cesaro leaving WWE. Also talk about Keith Lee making his debut in AEW. But most importantly, we'd love to hear from you guys and ladies, and let your voice be heard. So again, the number is 563-999-3529. 563-999-3529. But with that said, let's start with the slam dunk contest, man. Well, what can we say? By all accounts, everybody who's seen it, everybody has come to agreement that this was the worst slam dunk contest of all time. The only good thing about it is that Obi Toppin redeemed himself from losing last year. But yeah, man, by all accounts, it was painful to watch. What is your personal experience from watching it, Mac?
Yeah, that was not one of the better slam dunk contests that we've seen in past years. It's definitely one of the worst, if not the worst one. You know, a lot of missed attempts,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of weak dunks.
Nobody got 50.
Huh? Oh, yeah, no one got 50. It was a weak contest, you know. It was pretty boring to watch. I mean, I just watched it for Obi, and I thought Obi's dunks were underrated pretty much. You know, he had that one dunk over that guy where he kind of put the ball around his back and then dunked it while jumping over that guy. Then he had another dunk where he touched the backboard and windmilled the ball in. He had some dunks that were really good, I thought.
Uh-huh.
But again, there were a lot of missed attempts that pretty much ruined this contest. And it was not that great. It wasn't that great. I mean, I wish some of these bigger stars would compete in these contests, like
John Morant,
even a guy like Russell Westbrook or LeBron. LeBron has never competed in a dunk contest. Can you
see
that?
I know. It's never going to happen. I mean, he's like,
well,
like,
at this stage, his career, he should have done it when he was younger, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see some of these other high flyers, you know, get involved more, but yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, the last great dunk contest we had was that showdown between
Nate Robinson.
No, not Nate Robinson. I'm between Zach LaVine and what's his name? The kid who plays on Utah right now.
Donovan Mitchell?
No. Zach LaVine. Remember that dunk contest several years ago? What's his name again? Where people thought he should have won. What's the other guy's name? Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon. I think that was 2016? Yeah, that was 2016. That one was one of the great dunk contests we've ever seen. And I think that was the last great one. So, but this one, it was not that good. It's not that good. They definitely have to give these stars some type of
incentive
so that way they can compete.
Mm-hmm. Yep, or they don't have to get some guys from Rockford Park or
yeah,
high school, college, or whatever to, like, do this.
Right.
They even have me and you try to dunk.
You might have to change your format and, you know, get some guys from, like, the whole Harlem Globetrotters or from the street ball and have them compete against some of these NBA dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Or having some of these YouTube guys,
three.
You know, compete against these NBA guys.
For real, because that was
some people need to change.
Yeah, so the change is definitely necessary. That's needed.
Yeah.
And speaking of change, yeah, man, this Knicks team, they need a change, man. Hopefully that change is the emergence of R.J. Barrett as the lead star of the team, you know. Because, I mean, the future is now with him. You know, he has the talent. We've been saying this for years that, you know, people were saying, oh, he ain't clutch. There was even a dude, I'm trying to remember what team the guy was on. He was basically talking smack. I think it was Carl Edwards, maybe? From the Timberwolves, maybe? That he was saying, I think it was last year, that, oh, you know, when R.J. Barrett was trying to make a last-second shot, he missed it. And the guy was talking smack. He was like, you know,
wasn't that the that's the kid in Minnesota?
Was that Anthony Edwards?
Yeah, it was Edwards.
Yeah, he was saying, like, oh, you know, he ain't clutch, you know, he felt good about him, Barrett taking the shot because he knew he was going to miss it. I was like, man, R.J. Barrett, man, he has the tools to be a star, like, for real. Like, if you give him a chance to mature, like, he was already a good player with Duke in college, you know. I mean, this guy, he has it in his blood. Like, you could see it, you know, a player, you know, who shies away from the pressure of New York.
Yeah.
But him, he doesn't. I mean, he's still trying to develop. I mean, look at Jordan. I mean, Jordan was a phenomenal player out of college, and it took him until, like, what, the 1991 to win his first championship.
With a supporting cast.
Oh, what were you gonna say?
No, with a supporting cast, of course.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, you can't win a title without a supporting cast. I mean, obviously he had, you know, Pippen, you know, with that incredible cast, and he had those six titles, you know, and those two dynasties sandwiching between them. So I mean, yeah, you need a supporting cast. And that's what the Knicks need to do. They need to develop from within to turn this fortune around, because nobody's coming to save them. Zion Williams isn't going to come and save us. And if he comes, man, he gonna need to save himself too, because he's injury prone, and he's not reliable right now as a guy to build around. You know what I'm saying? So. The Knicks, they just need to build from within, you know. And then there's all this indecisiveness. You know, there's rumors of, you know, Thibodeau might get him fired, you know, after the season or during the season. It's just all this drama. I mean, and, you know, Kemba Walker, they mutually agreed that he's not going to play for the rest of the season, which most likely means it's going to be the end of his career. They're going to just, I guess, eat it or try to trade him in the offseason. And the rumors is that they weren't even openly trying to trade him, you know, at the deadline, which, I mean, it'll make no sense, you know. It's just insane. It's just insane how terrible, you know, all the hype about him coming here. I mean, it's even, when you think about it, it's even worse than Randall, because it was like, you know, he's a local guy, you know, Kemba Walker, it was a guy that the Knicks have always been, you know, rumored to get ever since, you know, he got drafted and, with the Hornets. And of course, when he signed with Celtics, you know, we thought he possibly could have came here then. And then he got these knee injuries and all that stuff. And, you know, he's just not the same guy no more. I mean, he had some flashes. He had that, 44-point game. He had that run after he was benched for like 9 games where he turned back the clock, you know. It's just been downhill ever since his relationship with the Knicks. And of course, you know, you got Randall. Randall has been playing better lately. He didn't play well this past game, the one that, Barrett scored the 46 points in. But prior to the All-Star
break. Because he was being shut down by Bam Adebayo. Bam just played great defense on him. And Randall, man, this season he's been very inconsistent.
Absolutely.
This is not the same player who won the Most Improved Player Award last year.
Hey, if he keeps this up, he might be in the running to win the Most Improved Player of the Year next year. But I think that's if we're lucky, if he bounces back. Because, he really needs to turn this around, man.
Well, right now, Tom, there's not many games left, so time is running out.
Fournier, you know, if he's not playing against the Celtics, he disappears and you don't play defense, you know, it's just. And then the sad thing is that, you know, they could have got DeMar DeRozan instead of Fournier, man. It's like the story of the Knicks, you know, lives for like the past 20 something years, you know.
DeRozan has been having a phenomenal season with the Bulls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been phenomenal, man. And then Grimes got injured. He's not going to play for at least 2 weeks. Possibly might get knee surgery. It's just been horrible with the Knicks, man. They can't be thinking, oh, we're going to get this guy. They never get the superstar players. They always overpay a guy who's a decent player who hasn't even been an all-star. Lately, they've been getting guys who've never been all-stars, who supposedly might have potential to do it, and they don't pan out. I mean, to the credit, Randall did pan out last year, but I mean, he's, you know, two out of the 3 years
he's been
with
now.
The Knicks. You know, he hasn't lived up to the contract. I mean, last year he did. But this year, man, it's just, yeah, man, we need Randall to bounce back. I mean, the season, in my opinion, is already too late anyway, but they need to mature these young players, you know, for the future.
They need to play Cam Reddish more. I mean,
they
come
do.
On.
Why did you trade for him if you're not going to play him?
Exactly.
It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. What's going on with the Knicks? Like, it's baffling. I don't even know what to say. And then on the Nets side, they last time I checked, they were losing to their new rival, Bucks.
Right now, the score is
124-122 Brooklyn with 3.1 seconds left in the fourth. So looks like Brooklyn is going to hold on to this lead.
Yeah, I see. I see now the they got a 3-point lead with a couple of seconds left. So barring a Hail Mary, I mean, I know wrong sport, you know, a three, you know, this game should end right here.
So yeah, they would actually need a Hail Mary if Brooklyn nails these two free throws. Then you should just heave a three-pointer from half court.
Yeah, it's 124-122 Brooklyn right now. Kyrie Irving, he has 38 points. You know, obviously we all know the story with him. He can't play, you know, he can't play at home. So, you know, fortunately for him, he's playing in Milwaukee. You know, this game should be wrapped up any moment now, to my knowledge. I'm not watching the game, but yeah, right now the Nets are leading by one. 124-123. So, yeah, Seth Curry, brother of Stephen, he has 19 points. And Drummond, he almost got that off. What?
Giannis almost could have tied it if he had made that three.
So I'm guessing the ball game's over?
Yeah, the game just ended. Brooklyn holds on 126-123. But that was a nice pass to Giannis to the other side of the court. And Giannis had a clean look to make a three. He missed it.
You said 126?
126-123. The Nets hold on.
Mm.
Giannis had a clean look to tie the game. But he missed.
And Giannis, he had 29 and 14. Bobby Portis, a familiar name with us, he had 30 points with 12 rebounds. But it wasn't enough for the Bucks, the defending world champions. So it's a good win for the Nets. You know, Nets need these W's, you know. They had a huge lead in the division. Then they lost 10 straight games at one point. They traded away James Harden, got Ben Simmons and Steph Curry now. I mean, Seth Curry, I should say. We'll see what happens. Looks like Mayor Adams is hinting that they're going to remove the mandate and Kyrie Irving is going to be able to play in every game now in a few weeks. So we'll see how that translates for the Nets.
Yeah, Kyrie could that'll be good news for Kyrie. He could now play home games and road games.
Mm-hmm. But shifting gears, the Super Bowl. Congrats to the Rams. They won their first Super Bowl since what, 99 with Kurt Warner. And for the Bengals they had a lead towards late in the fourth, and now they're 0-3 in the Super Bowl. So the Bengals fans gotta wait at least one more year to snap this the curse, the championship drought.
Yeah, well, the Bengals, they have a lot of young talent on that team, so yeah, there's gonna be plenty of chances for them to attempt to go back to the Super Bowl. And they got Burrow, they got Chase, yeah, they got Mixon, I should say. They got a good core of young players in that team. So I can definitely I wouldn't be surprised to see them go back to the Super Bowl next year. And so I don't think this loss should have them hanging their heads down. I mean, they're definitely gonna make a run in the AFC these next several years, but gotta give the Rams all the credit in the world. You know, they have a lot of talent this year. They were huge favorites to win this game, and at times in the game a couple of weeks ago, it looked like they could have lost because you had Odell go down. You know, they were behind in that fourth quarter. Matthew Stafford, you know, led them down the field, and they would go on to get the lead back and win the game. But you got to give them all the credit in the world, you know. They had a lot of talent, and they deserved to win it. They were just a better team this year, so it was well-deserved. And I'm happy for Stafford, happy for Odell, Aaron Donald, all those guys who've been waiting years for a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was Matthew Stafford's moment that he's been waiting for. Sure. He didn't win any playoff games when he was with, you know, all the 12 years he was with the Lions, and now was his chance. And then, you know, you had Odell hurt, which, you know, provided a scare for the Rams, but they were able to overcome it and come back from behind and win it. Yeah, as the Bengals, you know, Bengals could only hope that they have a run like the Buffalo Bills did in the 90s, the early 90s. You know, they're just hoping that they could, you know, actually win a title, you know, for first time ever. Both franchises, actually. But, you know, Joe Burrow's, yeah, he definitely has a shot to repeat, come back there, you know, as the AFC champion. But, it's not written in stone, you know. So anything could happen, you know what I mean? And look at Dan Marino. A lot of people consider him one of the greatest, if not the greatest, you know, especially before the emergence of Tom Brady, you know, in recent years. He went to that Super Bowl very young in his career. I think it was his third season in the league, and he never got back. So, you know, nothing is promised. So, yeah, we'll see if there'll be a rematch next year, especially with Tom Brady retiring. But with Tom Brady, you never know. He might come back. You know, he might have a little Brett Favre in him and, you know, get that itch to come back. So you never know.
Never know. Yeah.
Now moving on to the baseball. Yo, Mac, are you optimistic that we're gonna have a regular season? And if so, how many games do you think we're gonna lose? If they don't make an agreement by this Monday, day.
I'm optimistic there is gonna be a baseball season, but I don't know if it's gonna start in time right now. I mean, it looks like we might lose maybe 60 plus games, maybe. Or maybe even 100 at this point. Because it doesn't sound like it's going to start in time, so you might not have baseball until maybe the fall. I mean, who knows how this is going to last, but we're going to lose a lot of games, it's sounding like.
Well, you should look at the press as a Yankee fan. You know, the regular season always starts in October anyway for you guys, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Mets have high expectations, so. You guys have something to look forward to this season.
Yeah, by time, man. It's like once a decade, the Mets have a good team.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Mets will live up to the expectations and the slot count won't prevent the Nets from making more moves, because some of the rumors that they're thinking about, I don't know if you heard about this, Mac, but some of the owners, the owners, they want the big market teams to pay a fine if they go over the luxury tax. They pay, like, I think, what, 25% first-time offense, second-time offense is like 50, and then maybe 100% more the next time, or 75% more the next time, and then plus you're going to lose your draft picks, future draft picks. Like,
I assume this is not the big market teams.
No, this is the big market teams, my friend.
The big market teams are saying this?
No.
Because the big market teams are the ones who have money. They wouldn't
want to. I see your point. You're saying you don't think it's the big market teams that are saying, oh, yeah, okay, I see your point. No, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would assume not, because it's them that's going to be penalized. If anything, it should be the small market teams being penalized, because they're the ones that are tanking and they're not spending the money. They're not spending the money to maintain their players or to acquire talent, you know. Those are the people that should be penalized, not the teams that, you know, who are trying to win a championship, because that's the goal. You know what I mean? I mean, this is what the main focus of this arguments are, is the payroll and the players. You know, a lot of these players, great players, good, very good players, they're still free agents, you know, before the lockout. You know what I mean? So it's like, They don't have the leverage like they used to have, that they've had, you know, especially these last couple of years, you know, during the pandemic, you know. So the league, the players, they feel like they've conceded enough in these last couple of labor disputes, and it looks like they draw a line in the sand that they want significant improvements. They want the draft, the compensation removed, so that the players can be freely signed anywhere, you know, because that definitely did get affected. You know, the players who have a draft compensation pick, because teams don't want to lose a draft pick, you know, for signing a specific player, you know, so. The player union, they want to eliminate that. Apparently they agreed, they got to agree. There's going to be universal DH, which you've been evangelizing about the universal DH for many years. So I know you're excited about that.
Well, I mean, not really excited, but it should have been something that should have been instituted years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep up with the times.
I guess you're going to save your celebrations for October.
No, I mean, as we already have the DH, that's going to be the National League's problem.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to have to worry about that.
Yeah, you've had the DH since, what, 73?
How do you feel about that? Since the National League's going to have it. Now, so it's going to be something that you guys will have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love the way how the game was before, but if this can enable them to get a good player to help them win a championship, then, you know, I will, I'll accept it, you know. Could one of those players be Freddie Freeman? I strongly doubt it. I mean, you know, this guy... I know all the rumors are saying he's going to most likely leave the Braves, maybe go to the Dodgers, go to you guys, the Yankees. I just don't see him leaving the Braves. The rumors I'm hearing is that the Braves want to offer him a 5-year deal. He wants a 6, and maybe at 150 or something. I don't know what the thing was. I would assume it's more than 150. I mean, this guy he's phenomenal, and he just won the title, too. So, Moses Graves, I would give him the money. I think he's 32 years old, but yeah, man, this guy's a all-time great Brave. The best play they've had, since Chipper Jones. You gotta lock this guy up. You gotta lock this guy up like a criminal. Can't let him go.
Yeah, I never understood that with the DH. I never understood why. I know that there's some strategy to it, but I don't understand why naturally had pitchers hitting in the first place. They were most of the time it was easy outs.
That is true.
I don't get why the National League never adopted the DH years ago. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, they wanted to preserve the authenticity of the game because that's how the game was in the past. The pitchers used to pitch, and hit. The DH was a novelty thing.
A lot of
these
pitchers don't even bother learning how to hit. That's the thing. Like, if you're gonna be hitting, I love to learn how to hit. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, yeah, but then again, hitting is a lot easier said than done. It's not easy for a regular position player to hit. But
at least with a DH, I mean, you'll see the numbers go up dramatically now.
Absolutely, yeah.
So,
100%. Yeah, it's a shame we won't be able to see Matt Serger swing the bat. See how well he do. But like you said,
I could care less if my pitchers hit. I mean, it's as long as they're pitching, and they're pitching great. That's what I want to see. Oh, I don't want to see them hit a home run. Like, we have home run hitters for that. I mean, come on.
Oh man,
like, this is not the Babe Ruth times.
So if you had Babe Ruth or Shohei Ohtani, you don't want to see him swing the bat as a pitcher?
Well, if he can do both, yeah, I would. But I wouldn't want to see him doing the same game, I like what they do with Ohtani in L.A., where they have him hit as, he's in the starting lineup as a hitter, and then he'll have a day where he pitches. Mm-hmm. But he's not hitting and pitching in the same game.
Like old school.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's basically what they're gonna have to, what people are gonna have to do now, if they have a pitcher that can hit, because the Mets have a couple of guys who could hit as pitchers, but the Mets,
Yeah, but they're not. I mean, come on, how many guys are like Ohtani?
No.
Not many.
I didn't say they're Ohtani. I'm not going that far. I ain't going that far and say they're Ohtani. I think DeGrom could hit. I think Sergio could hit as a pitcher, if I'm not mistaken. Syndergaard, he had a couple of home runs with the Mets. Obviously, Bartolo Colon hit his first home run a few years ago when he was with the Mets. What was that, 2016 maybe?
So let me ask you a question. You're telling me if there's you need a big hit in the spot, you're going to bring up Jacob DeGrom to hit that game-winning home run or game-winning hit in a big spot?
Well, of course not. I mean, we got the DH now, so we
exactly.
got...
Exactly. So why would we even, care about that?
Go after, maybe Kyle Schwarber or Nelson Cruz or... who knows? Maybe even re-sign Conforto. I mean, I think he'd most likely go to you guys or Phillies, But
now for guys who are battling some type of injury and you don't want them to play the field, now you could put them at the DH spot where they can just hit.
Yeah, that's what I always loved about interleague play. It made it special, to have that option, going to the American League ballpark and you have that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very special thing. It's something to look forward to. Especially back in the days when they had all the interleague games back to back instead of the past couple of years after they made it 15 teams. It used to be 16 National League teams and 14 American League. But once they made the leagues even, with the emergence of Astros moving to the American League, you know, that's when that's when they made interleague play every day, which to me that's one of the things that Manfred instituted that just ruined the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and I think when they did do it that year, it helped you guys out, especially with he's no longer on the team anymore.
Who's Cespedes?
Cespedes, yeah, it helped you guys a lot with Cespedes that year when he was injured.
When they had the DH thing? He only hit one home run that first game of the season, and then he went AWOL.
Right, so, yeah. Well, he pretty much disappeared after that, I know, but still.
Yeah, so the DH really helped out Dom Smith, J.D. Davis, but especially Dom Smith.
Yeah.
On paper, it was supposed to help Cespedes, but Cespedes went AWOL, so he didn't even really get to reap the benefit of, you know, the DH.
Yeah. Where's Cespedes? I mean,
well, supposedly he's trying to come back to baseball.
To the Mets?
Nah, not to the Mets.
Oh. Guy just left the Mets, had a COVID excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Was that his excuse?
Yep, that's true. And speaking of a guy who opted out with the Mets during that time, Marcus Stroman, I gave him a pass, you know, from him doing that. But now, I don't know if you heard, but a few days ago, you know, there was a fan who was talking about Michael Conforto, hopefully Michael Conforto coming back to the Mets. And, Marcus Stroman, he was talking a lot of smack about the Mets.
Really?
Let me see if I can get his actual quote so I can.
He always has something to say, Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, you know, that's the negative thing about him. You know, he pitched well last year, but it was like he just you know, like to talk a lot of smack, you know. And get offended by stuff. You know, that was the negative thing about him, you know, being on the team. Like, he was just easily PO'd about things, you know. Let me see if I could get that quote quickly for you. Let me see. Oh, yeah, by the way, Oliver Perez,
there's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, I know. He's going to retire after next year. This upcoming year, he's going to play in the Mexican League because I think he's, Mexican-American. So he's gonna play in the Mexican League and then officially retire from baseball. Let's see if this is...
I thought you were gonna say that he's gonna retire as a Met. Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why are the Mets gonna retire him to begin with?
I wouldn't recommend that, especially after he you know, what can I say? He's been wild, especially towards the end of his tenure with the Mets.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get that.
You know who's number will be retired? The Yankees will be retiring Paul O'Neill's number in August.
Yeah, well deserved. You know, congrats to number 21 on the Yankees, Paul O'Neill. A college player, won a title with the Reds in 90, and then he went to the Yankees during the dynasty and was a huge part of that run.
Yeah, it was. You know, a fiery player in that Yankee dynasty. One of our clutch hitters, so well-deserved.
So yeah, so yeah, basically, you know, a fan was saying that they hope he comes back to the Mets, and then Stroman was saying that how, you know, that he hopes he gets paid, you know, elsewhere. And then when they asked him to elaborate, he was basically saying, apparently this tweet got deleted. He said, just look at who the Mets hired as their GM, which he's referring to Billy Epler. He said, that tells you enough. His lack of awareness in his previous position is being exposed to the public now. I'm beyond thankful I'm gone from that organization. God got me. And then, but before he signed with the Cubs in December 2nd, this is what he said. Huge thank you to the Mets and the city of New York for the last few years. Create some friendships that will last forever. Thank you to the staff and coaches for always helping me prepare to the highest degree. Nothing but love to all the fans who supported us throughout it all, or through it all, I should say. Oh, yeah, and another thing he said about the Mets was that he's happy that he's in an organization that has a great fan base that's going to support him. And to that, I would say
the Mets didn't support him?
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Mets fans were supporting him. I don't know what he's talking about. Like, there were more Mets fans that supported him that weren't against him. The only time I could think of Mets fans having an issue with him was when he would say a comment or he'd get offended or, you know, him about to go into a fight with somebody. But other than that, the Mets fans have been pretty supportive of him.
Yeah.
You know? I guess he's about to do the thumb down with Lindor and Randall at this point, man. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, he's taking – this dude literally thanked the Mets fans, thanked the Mets organization, and now that he's on the way out, now he taking shots, cheap shots at the Mets fans, you know. Like, I think it's the fact he was upset that they didn't go after him. You know, they pursued, you know, all these other pitchers like Gausman and I'm trying to think who the other person was. Obviously Serger. And they didn't go after him, which, I mean, he got a snap out of it. If you have a chance to go after Stroman or Serger, I mean, you gotta focus your attention on Serger. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I agree.
I mean, he shouldn't take it personal.
Yeah. And his numbers haven't been, you know, numbers haven't been up there with Scherzer to begin with. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Scherzer with the Nationals was the best pitcher free agent signing ever. Like,
yeah.
Ever. Like, no other pitcher has even come close to what he produced for them with any other signing. Definitely wasn't Mike Hampton signing with the Colorado Rockies because of the schools and not the 7-year $120 million contract they gave him. You know,
yep.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on of players, especially pitchers who signed these huge, massive deals. And they could never live up to the contract weight. But he did it. To his credit, he did it. Through no hitters, won the championship, you know, with them, won Cy Young Awards. Like, I mean, he literally did it all. He literally did it all for the Nationals.
That's true.
So, I mean, what can you say? The only thing you can hope and pray is that he can stay healthy. Him and DeGrom could stay healthy, and if they do, man, it's gonna be fun to watch those two compete against each other as teammates. You know,
yeah,
try to
definitely
one up each other. I mean, it'd be a beautiful. You know, we don't even know when this season's gonna start. You know, so I think we're gonna start at, you know, after the All-Star break. You know, I think it's gonna be kind of like that the 60-game season of 2 years ago. We'll have 60 games, and that's if we're lucky.
Yeah, right now it's looking like that.
it's not looking good at all. And shifting gears, yeah, the Elimination Chamber. The Elimination Chamber had some highlights, had some lowlights. Let's get right into it. Rey Mysterio defeated The Miz. I didn't see that match. I don't know if you saw that match. This was like,
yeah,
I think
I saw part of it.
This was during the wasn't it during the
I think this was during the pre-show, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You also had Bianca Belair defeating Doudrop, Alexa Bliss.
That was a good match.
Yeah, absolutely, it was a great match there.
And I was texting you that you know, it was apparent that WWE made these ladies all wear bodysuits.
Right.
So the
main
Saudi men couldn't look at their TNA.
I remember you were saying that their wardrobe was their wardrobe was definitely altered, you know, because they wanted to keep their PC.
Yeah, because
you know, and then that, what would you rate this match?
It was a very good match. I think that the women's Elimination Chamber match was much better than the female Elimination Chamber matches, than the male Elimination Chamber match, I should say.
100% agree with you for sure. And Bianca won, as I thought in the beginning. And then I was watching the match, I'm like, who did I think was going to win after this? Because I picked Bianca on the last episode of the show to win. And then there was, while watching the show, I changed my mind briefly. I thought Alexa was going to win. And then once it got to, the final two, Bianca and I think Rhea Ripley was the final two. And then, you know, I thought Bianca would win, and then she won that, you know. I think she even hit the KOD on Doudrop.
Doudrop, as I call her.
Yep.
She's shaped like doo-doo.
And then you got Naomi and Ronda Rousey teaming up, and then they defeated Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville. Ronda Rousey had one hand tied behind her back, and it made no difference. Then you had this snooze fest of a match that could have been on 205 Live or, Sunday Night Heat from back in the days. Drew McIntyre defeats Madcap Moss. We all knew that was going to happen. False count anywhere match.
And you, man, and McIntyre and that sword, man, he's gonna be hit someone.
I know, it's crazy, man.
But the Saudis, you know, they're used to that, so it wouldn't have been anything unusual for them.
We're losing sponsors. If we were getting paid, we're losing sponsors here. But, then you got Becky Lynch, Lita, the Raw Women's title, dream match, Becky Lynch. Grew up a Lita fan, and she defeated her childhood idol. Any thoughts on that match?
Which match? This was the Becky Lynch match, right? Versus Lita.
That was
a good match. That was very good. I mean, I would have loved to see Lita win it, but. You know, it's good to see her just come back and wrestle again and show that she still, you know, she still has it.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope she wrestles again in the future, you know.
Well, hopefully. Then you got Usos battling the Viking Raiders. And, you know, Uso retained the titles there.
Double counter or something, I think it was. Or double disqualification,
yeah.
Something like that. I forgot.
Yeah, it was a no contest. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, of course. Then you had, I think, Roman Reigns defeating Goldberg, I think, led off the show.
That's right.
After the Mysterio Miz match, Roman Reigns, he defeated Goldberg. No surprise there. But the surprise was he made him tap. He made him pass out, you know, which I think that's like the first time ever I could think of Goldberg being, you know, passing out like that, you know, submitting. Well, he didn't tap out, but, you know, his body gave out. You're like, what, 55 years old, man.
Getting up there.
Yeah. And then last but not least, yeah, Brock Lesnar defeat Bobby Lashley, who was injured in the match. AJ Styles, Austin Theory, Riddle, Seth freaking Rollins to become the new WWE champion. Well, the backstage news is that Bobby Lashley was hurt. He had like a shoulder problem during the match with Brock Lesnar. And basically, they faked the scene where Seth Rollins does the buckle bomb to break the cell and gave, you know, Lashley a fake concussion. And then, you know, you remember the scene when Brock Lesnar broke out of the pod?
Yeah. Yeah, like he's the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, apparently... That wasn't staged. They were gonna show they were gonna show Bobby Lashley's empty pod, and then they would go to him, because obviously, you know, Bobby Lashley wouldn't be able to compete. So Brock Lesnar improvised, actually made it better by him breaking out of it.
Wow.
And he just dominated it, man. All these matches, Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, all of them are controversial. The day one match, Brock Lesnar beats, he wins the title, but he doesn't, that ended Big E's reign, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't Bobby Lashley the champion? Big E was the champion. So, Brock Lesnar pinned everybody except for Lashley. And Lashley dominated him in that match in their first ever match together. Then you had the one-on-one matchup at Royal Rumble where, Brock Lesnar dominated that match. Bobby Lashley, you know, obviously had help from Roman Reigns to win that title. So, you know, it was wonderful to see Bobby Lashley get that one-on-one matchup and get the W. And then afterwards, this match, Bobby Lashley didn't even get a chance to fight, you know. He didn't get a chance to fight, and, you know, the screwy ending, and he loses the title. You know, they could have changed the thing and said, okay, whoever wins this match, it's not going to be our number one contender match instead of, you know, still for the title. Because they've had Elimination Chamber matches where it was non-title matches, you know what I mean? And sure enough, Brock Lesnar wins the title again. And, you know, we got the title for title match. Winner takes all coming up. You know, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, that's going to be champion versus champion. Going to be a unification of both titles.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see. Match. They're calling it the match of a lifetime. Is that what they're calling it?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think they should be reunited. I am normally for the unification matches. You know, I generally love them, but I don't know. The state of WWE right now, how they're booking, they need a secondary title so they could give somebody else a chance, like a Big E, Bobby Lashley or somebody else like that, who, you know, up and coming guy to have a title. Because with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, man, it's like you ain't gonna get the title anytime soon. This ain't gonna be no title changes anytime soon. You know what I mean? Because it's like these guys have been holding on to the title for the longest time. You know what I mean?
Here's what I think will happen. I think whoever wins both titles, I don't think it'll necessarily be unified, and they're not gonna call it the WWE Heavyweight Universal title. I think they'll just hold on to the two titles, and they'll have to relinquish one, and then we'll go back to having two separate titles. I think that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's gonna happen, because the way how WWE is now, two brands, I think they need us, you know, two separate champions, because with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar holding on to the titles, like one of each titles, it's like it's hard enough for you to win one.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I don't think there's gonna be a long term unification. I think it'll be short lived.
Yeah.
And trying to think here. Trying to remember what happened in AEW. AEW, I think they're gonna have an event coming up. They're going to have, I think, Daniel Bryan versus John Moxley.
Daniel Bryanson?
Hey, yeah, Bryan Danielson, my fault.
Bryan Danielson, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and also Keith Lee, he made his debut with AEW. He said he would – do you know what wrestler he said he would have loved to have fought during his time?
Who?
I'll give you three guesses.
Wait, who's this again?
Keith Lee?
Mm-hmm. Who's three wrestlers he would have loved to fought?
No, there's one wrestler he would have loved to have fought when he was in WWE. I'm giving you three guesses that figure out who.
An active wrestler,
yes.
Right now?
Yes. Yes, an active wrestler.
Bobby Lashley?
He fought Bobby Lashley once.
Did he? Oh,
I can't even remember that.
Okay.
Got two more.
Brock Lesnar?
That's not a bad guess, but that's not it.
It's not Randy Orton, because he fought Randy Orton, I think.
I bet you're going to get this. What's your next guess? Your next and final guess.
Seth freaking Rollins?
Nope. The answer is Big E.
Oh, Big E.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That would have been like my 10th guess.
What was I going to say? That's wait, let me see. When is this event going to happen? March 6th. Okay, so they're gonna have a pay-per-view event next Sunday. So I guess we'll give our preview then. All right, anything else you'd like to say, Matt, before we head out?
No, just check your local listings for my podcast, iMac. Sports Urban Legend, every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
You're the guy. Check out his podcast, iMac, and check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV, and check out this show, Sports Urban Legend, every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace. We'll be right back.
Boston.